Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, folks. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in much color. I am broadcasting from New York City, Jamaica, New York, and we got folks from Chicago and Virginia, and we're gonna have a nice, exciting time. Let me introduce my co-host, Miss the lovely and endearing and audacious, Miss Henrietta Bird from Chi-Town.
It must be Friday in New York.
And the eagle fly on Friday.
Okay. Oh, hello, everybody. Hey, Glenn. Oh, wait. Boy, you better be glad you're in New York. That's all I got. I'll leave the table.
Be careful now. Be careful now.
Everyone, and welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. As you can see, we are very excited for many, many different reasons. We love daytime. We just love daytime. We've been on in the evening for years, and this is so refreshing to be with you while you're having lunch, while you're taking a break, or whatever. But we love this daytime issues that we are having. As Glenn said, he's in New York, I'm in Chicago, and we have, you know, the International Black Summit Conversation in Atlanta next year. And we invite you all to go to blacksummit.org and read about us and listen and see what you hear and see yourself in Atlanta the first weekend in August 2015 for our 25th annual summit event celebration. We will be in Atlanta from the last weekend in July until probably the 5th of August, celebrating. We have all kind of stuff prepared for that week. This is a 25th annual summit event. So the radio program is in real celebration of what's coming for us, what's coming for you, you know, expansion in this conversation. We still want to bring you the current events that are going on and, of course, the issues that we see are great conversation pieces and things that will open our eyes and have us be a particular way. And with that being said, as you know, we do all things inside of the Declaration of the International Black Summit. So I'd like to present that at this time, actually by speaking it. So the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community and distinction. We listen for and bring being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, unity, responsibility, with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Jamaica, Queens, New York, Chicago, Illinois, on this year's November 14th, 2014. north, south, east, west, above, below, within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. Back to you. And Virginia, excuse me. Jamaica, Queens, New York, Chicago, Illinois, and Virginia.
All right.
Great.
So, before I bring our esteemed guest on, this afternoon's topic is going to be youth shooting and what is going on in the various communities and what can we do, how can we tackle it, how can we tackle the problem. So what is the problem and how can we tackle the problem? But let me deliver the purpose of the International Black Summit, and I'm going to give you three different purposes because we've got the adults, we've got the International Black Youth Summit, and then we also have the International Black Young Adult Summit. So those are three aspects of the conversation that we are maintaining ourselves as we move forward in this 25th anniversary. And Henrietta, I think I'm going to ask you to mute yourself because I get a little noise coming in. Okay, great. Thank you. So the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. And so it's inside of that conversation that the 25th annual event, we've been around for 25 years, and we're exploring what it is to be black, what it is to be empowering, and to empower each other. The purpose of the International Black Youth Summit is we exist to facilitate the connection, self-expression, and empowerment of young people of African descent around the world. We are young people making our visions real in our communities and exemplifying the principles of youth, transformation, love, and possibility as a powerful approach to the universe. So those are our young people from 8 to 17 that are participating in that conversation, and they get to be with their peers and engage in what it is to be black and deal with some of the modern-day conversations as we're going to be talking about today, the violence and the shooting and the and also, you know, the challenges inside of education and inside of just growing up in general. And then we have the third, which is the black young adults. And they're from 18 to 35. And so we created a space for them the last couple of years so that they have an opportunity to be amongst other young folks who are developing themselves, who are out in their own, making things happen and using their creative minds. And their purpose is to provide an opportunity for participants ages 18 to 35, a space for reflection, communication, mentorship, and growth through vision, creation, and implementation. This conversation empowers young adults to powerfully transition to adulthood equipped for global success. And it's interesting because in going around the different parts of the world, what we found out is that in some cultures, that you're, especially in Africa, you're considered a youth until you're 35. So it was recently that we've been toiling with it and thinking about it, and so the last 2 years we've had this conversation, young adult, inside of the summit conversation. So with all of that, there's plenty of information. Go to www.blacksummit.org to really find out a little bit more detail about what we're up to. And please, please find out about the 25th annual event. It's going to be in Atlanta this year, 2015, in August. You don't want to miss that because it's going to be a powerful, powerful celebration. So with that note, let me bring on our two special guests. We've got Claudie Chapman from Chicago, and he's going to give us some of the details and some of the goings on in Chicago. And then we've got Jerry Thomas who is in Virginia, and he'll formerly from New York, is now residing in Virginia, so he'll give us some perspectives about that as well. So, gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, welcome.
And, yeah. And so I wanted to start the conversation. So what do you see as the source or the situation that has to be resolved around all of these youth shootings? You know, what are some of the climates that cause that? So we start off at as a source. What's sourcing young people shooting each other? What do we think some of the causes are? I'm going to start with you, Claudie, in Chicago.
Well, I am not pretending to be an expert, and I appreciate the invitation. I think what shows up for me are a lot of things on a physical level, spiritual level, and emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
Black people in Chicago are trying to find their way. I was watching a movie about, I think it's called Black Girls, talking about the color of the skin. And one of the professors being interviewed on it said something I thought was very profound, that we've only been free. And when I mean free, I mean with the civil rights movement and voters' rights and so forth, for the last 50 years. So for us to have some sort of attempt at comparing ourselves to other ethnic groups may or may not be valid at this point. Historically, I believe every ethnic group has gone through what we're going through with the violence, people trying to find their way in this American economy. The thing I think shifts is in Chicago, we have lost a lot of the supports that we had for poor people. And among those supports were mental health clinics, a lot of our children and parents and older adults are suffering with a variety of mental illnesses, from depression to schizophrenia. Talk about it, we just move on through it as if, you know, you got a scab on your skin, you just deal with it. Of course, economics shows up, and the conditions of feeling oppressed, and I think that is not going to shift for 50 years. It's going to take us a little bit longer to catch up with the rest of the cultures in this country who have kind of had a 150-year head start on us in acquiring that level of entitlement and security about being an American citizen. I hope I made some sense in that.
Yeah, no, that was good. That was very good. That's very good. I'm going to jump in after we hear from Jerry. Jerry, what would you say is the climate in Virginia? And I'll talk a little bit about Jamaica.
Okay, well, ever since I moved down here from New York, I find out, you know, there's a difference of Commonwealth and state.
Okay.
And there's a misconception about it. They figure that, oh, it's all the same, but it's not, because the Commonwealth, they make their laws along the way. It's like, I give a case in point. If they said they want to build more animal shelters, that's how it goes. There's no outright vote for it. There's no committees. They just make it along the way. Now, what have I seen in Virginia of people of color that have this certain mindset that whatever happens, they just get along. But at the same time, we are suffering because there's no human side of it. Like, they care more for animals than people. if you want to have a community or after school program, you got a right to them. They military, they're very big in military. So as for me, of a person of African descent, it's a constant fight. And then when you don't have anything that uplifts as a people, when you don't have, especially when Claudia talking about spirituality, because I'm glad you brought that point out, but because that is really missing in our community. When you do not have your fellow brothers and sisters that is the head of the congregation, don't reach out to the ones that is in darkness. That's when you have all these vices really happening in our community. So in Virginia, as you know, these kids they don't have nothing to miss them. Then you got a lot of them that come from broken homes, but they don't have nowhere to go to. So they don't have that energy that they can really to express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm going to say about that for now. Back at you.
That's good. What I'm hearing, and I would say that that's consistent in Jamaica, Queens, and Southeast Queens of New York, the same thing, and not just in Southeast Queens, but in, you know, all over New York City. But the reduction of programs, after school programs, when you look at the community centers and the PAL buildings, and you know, Boys and Girls Clubs and all these things that I know we had an opportunity growing up are being restricted. And so when that happens, you know, you don't have the programs for people to participate, after-school programs, music programs, just basic exercise. So what we see is that, as Claudia, I'm going to echo what Claudia said, the services are being reduced. What are the kinds of things that we can look to do, and I'm also going to add in the reduction of jobs in our community, so the high unemployment. What are some of the kinds of things that that we as a community can begin to do to help those young people and support them in not having to choose violence as their first option? Claudia, I'm going to direct that to you.
Wow. One of the things that we could do is recognize that we're not disconnected from them. That the person you see on the street, whether they're getting mugged or being the mugger, is me. Mm-hmm. And as much, you know, my connection with you allows me to see where you are in my life and where I am in my life, in respect to who you're being. The conversation inside the International Black Church is, you know, it's not just talk. It's really an exploration and exercise in living. And those components where we build economies for ourselves, to service ourselves, to let people know that you are complete and whole, there's nothing else for you to do, to be whatever the case is, you're in good shape. Now, what you're doing may not give you the results you're looking for. That's another conversation. And hold on. And we have to get our connections to each other in such a way that I don't look past you, I look at you.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's
okay,
good.
I'm asleep for now. I got a little distracted with my grandson. I apologize for that.
No problem.
So Glenn, can I jump in for a minute?
Sure.
So my question to Claudia is, to you, Claudia, is how? You know, how do I take someone who has made it. Let's say they've accomplished a goal. They're making a certain amount of money. They've moved out of the neighborhood because, for whatever reason, because they can. You know, how do I get a person like that to understand what you just said? You know, how do I get a person to reconnect?
By example, by recognizing that simply because, you know, their economic status may be different than mine, connected to you.
So you know, if I, what I'm hearing, so if I start doing what?
I start being connected. I start being your equal.
And how do I, with my six figures or more, be equal to someone on welfare? How do I make that connection?
By trying, first of all, and by not seeing
still there, Claudia?
Practice.
Okay, Claudia, you went out. We didn't hear that last part.
I said by not seeing yourself as somebody with six figures and not seeing the other person as somebody on welfare.
Okay.
And by it takes practicing mm-hmm. that. And one of the things Dr. King said was that, you know, hate is not the opposite of love. The opposite of love is dismissal. So when you see somebody standing on the corner, you know, panhandling, and you choose not even to acknowledge their existence, that's the opposite of love.
Mm-hmm.
So when we dismiss people, youth, because they're in the street, they're sagging, we're not loving them. As they approach me, I speak to acknowledge I see you. That is, I mean, it's sometimes just taking a step.
Well, one of the things that we were having a discussion this past Tuesday about at the Southeast Queens Community for Action, we had a meeting, and one of the things that came up is that how do we engage the folks that have left the community, and why are they leaving the community? Well, in a lot of cases, they're leaving the community because there's nothing that's being offered inside of the community that they're interested in attending. There's not necessarily an area that they're, you know, they're not activities. Especially young folks are looking for positive, reinforcing activities that they can attend. And so one of the things that we talked about as a community is how can we begin to have and to advertise the positive things that are occurring in the community so that people will come back to the community. Because when you look at a community from an economic standpoint, those body of people are leaving because they don't have an opportunity for them to go out or to hang out or to even live comfortably in that area. And so that's one of the reasons why they leave. Now, again, the connection piece is so critical because if they don't feel part of the community, and then certainly the people who are left in the community don't feel that those folks who are making those six figures are part of the community as well, you know, there's got to be some kind of give back. And without that give back and the opportunity to give back, because that's the other thing that may be missing, is bridging a gap so that we can have something for them to come back to.
Can I get into it, please?
Thanks. Go ahead, Jerry.
I think for me, what I see and I'm going to comply myself to the International Black Summit. As for me, that y'all, I came from the hood, and y'all set me as being a participant of being part of the world. And I think, well, I think for me, what I see in part of this conversation today, both today, by what you say, Henrietta, and by what you say, Brother Grant and Cordy, that I think the most, the key point that we have to go back about tradition and by part of our culture. And we have to gain, we have to gain back and follow what they had done. I'm not saying follow everything what they do, but we just take little here and little there how our community was working back then, because in our community back then, we have the spiritual fabric, we have the social fabric, and we have the movement. And then you know, we was raised in by most of the time was you know, from two parent homes, or even like there's some kids who had two parents homes. You know, grandmother was on the block, grandfathers, aunts and uncles, even neighbors. And we have to understand that we know we're in a crisis now. We have to gain that back, and then we have to gain back the trust and everything. And I feel that, you know, you got to take them to the library. You got to sit them down. You got to sit them down and tell them, you know, I'm willing, like when you say, Corey, we got to connect with them. A lot of us, we don't want to connect with them because we don't want to understand. So we see them, instead of being part of the family, we see them as allies. And so when they see them as allies, they figure they don't have nobody, don't care. And so for me, I know for me what I need to do, I got whatever I learned in the past, I got to set for and make myself known, you know, to be, you know, to let them know that you are counted. And I understand your pain. But, you know, and that's for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to have the spiritual context. For me, you got to bring back the spiritual context, bring back the cultural context, and bring back the social context. That's for me. Back at you. Sorry I interrupted.
No. That's perfect, dear, because what you made me present to was the flip side. You know how in the summit we have the distinction front of the hand, back of the hand. And mm-hmm. what I just got present to in your share was the word them. Them. Like when you were speaking, you said, we got to let them know. And they have to let us, you know, and I got present to, okay, so there's a them, there's a consciousness of a them and a us. So if we, and I spoke of people who make with the six figures or more, Claudie distinguished that as not being something to look, not to look at that, but to look at that person as I look at myself. One of the, what you made me present to, Jerry, was one of the things I think that would draw us closer is if those people who are going through whatever they're going through don't look at the people with six figures and separate themselves from those people. See, it works both ways. Those of us who can walk up and speak to a person who is asking for money, and those of us, there are those of us who can walk up and say hello, no thank you, and not today. There are those who walk past a person and turn up their noses. The point I am trying to make is, as those people who can, as we say, reach back and pull somebody up with them, there's also some education or some facilitation around the people who are going through what's considered a struggle and seeing themselves as equal to everybody else.
Uh-huh.
That's my point, and that's what I got present to when you were speaking, that there's this consciousness of a them and a us.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere we've got to clear that, because there's the separation right there.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn, back to you.
Yeah, that, you know, you know, what I'm present to in this moment is part of the conversation that the International Black Summit is. And it's a gathering of people of black African descent from diverse backgrounds, countries, lifestyles, opinions, and views who come together to celebrate and empower the vision of the Declaration. And so that's easier said and done inside of an organization. But when we look at our communities, you know, how do we impact our community that way? How do we bring all of those diverse backgrounds together? How do we coordinate and bring together? And one of the things that keeps coming up for me inside and outside this conversation at the National Black Summit is having a vision. Because having a vision for your community. Because if you don't have a vision for your community, then oftentimes what happens is you become part of somebody else's vision, and you're not present to or not focused on what it is that you want to produce for your community. Because nobody wants to live in a bad community. Yet people aren't envisioning what's the possibility and the vision of what their community could look like as opposed to what is. And so I think that connection and that availability of connecting is when people can begin to look and to create a vision for themselves beyond what's occurring in this in the present.
Glenn, I'm sitting in front of a hospital in Chicago, the Jackson Park Hospital, neighborhood hospital. And I was just thinking, Claudia's working on an empowerment center, and I'm saying it to the universe so that people will know this is a project that this gentleman is working on here in Chicago. And I was listening to you, Glenn, thinking about what you said, Jerry, and being present to Claudia's project of this empowerment center, because I was like, okay, so now we just uncovered what needs to be done. There needs to be a reconnection of the people who feel like they're disconnected from those who are successful, and those who are successful feel disconnected from whatever. So in Claudia's empowerment center, oneness can show up. The possibility of oneness can exist. And I was thinking, okay, where's the perfect place to have this empowerment center? Where will we get the people from? This hospital right here, because it's a neighborhood hospital. So all of the, you know, it's not a trauma center, but it's a neighborhood hospital. So I'm just thinking of empowerment centers that will be all over everywhere. And I'm suggesting that we get to work and make that connection, because, you know, I'm about, like, solving the issue. We've distinguished it. Like, now what are we going to do to step it up and put some solution here? Glenn.
And the other part about that is that as we build those institutions and organizations, understand and know that we ourselves are empowerment centers, and that we are delivering that vision, that possibility in our speaking. So when we look at the opportunity, and I'm going to say obligation, for those who can see to create and to speak a vision, a possibility out into the world, such that the masses of people can also then begin to see something for themselves. Not necessarily the same thing I see, not the same thing Claudia sees, or not the same thing Jerry sees, but we begin to collectively look at what is possible and what we'd like to create for ourselves and to do that moment by moment in our speaking. So I'd like to give it to Claudia and to Jerry to kind of just wrap us up and take us home.
So that's Claudia, what I just That's why I like this conversation and these people. Thank you. I'm complete.
Okay. You're welcome, Claudia. Jerry?
Well, the one thing that I get from the conversation that no matter what vision that we in and what distinction that we have, we've all the same goal that try to embrace our young people back in our lives. And I really enjoy this. I enjoy Cordy. I enjoy you, Rob Rutherford. I enjoy my sister Henrietta. And all I can say, let's keep the conversation going and let's get to work.
That's all right.
I'm
okay. Thank you, Jerry. Thanks, Jerry. Henrietta?
I'm always glad to talk to my brothers. All three of you, my brothers, and I'm thankful, and I'm looking for who runs this hospital because that's my next phone call today.
All right.
Who runs this hospital? Let's get in there and let's get some empowerment going on. And thank you all. Thank you for being on the show today, Glenn. My best to you. And by the way, gentlemen, I'm going to see Stevie Wonder tonight.
Okay.
All right.
So I am really excited. Yes.
You're going to be in the wonderment.
That's right. I am going to be in the wonderment.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's right.
I do.
Yeah.
I thank you all for participating in the call, and certainly this conversation is not over for our listeners who are listening after the fact. Please continue to tune in and continue this dialogue. Certainly come to the annual event in Atlanta in August because there's going to be a lot of like-minded folks with similar projects and similar visions and similar declarations of empowerment for our community. So join us in August in 2015 and check out the website www.blacksummit.org. We love you. God bless you. Have an empowering week. Peace and blessings.
All right. Thank you.
God bless.